Hi there, this is Mary DeMuth, and this is Pray Every Day, where I pray through the Bible verse by verse. We're making our way through Genesis, and we're in chapter 42 in the HCSB version of the Bible. This is what it says. When Jacob learned that there was grain in Egypt, he said to his sons, "Why do you keep looking at each other? Listen," he went on, "I have heard there is grain in Egypt. Go down there and buy some for us so that we will all live and not die." So 10 of Joseph's brothers went down to buy grain from Egypt, but Jacob did not send Joseph's brother Benjamin with his brothers, for he thought something might happen to him. The sons of Israel were among those who came to buy grain, for the famine was in the land of Canaan. Joseph was in charge of the country. He had sold grain to all its people. His brothers came and bowed down before him with their faces to the ground. When Joseph saw his brothers, he recognized them, but he treated them like strangers and spoke harshly to them. "Where do you come from?" he asked. "From the land of Canaan to buy food," they replied. Although Joseph recognized his brothers, they did not recognize him. Joseph remembered his dreams about them and said to them, "You are spies. You have come to see the weakness of the land." "No, my lord, your servants have come to buy food," they said. "We are all sons of one man. We are honest. Your servants are not spies." "No," he said to them, "you have come to see the weakness of the land." But they replied, "We, your servants, were 12 brothers, the sons of one man in the land of Canaan. The youngest is now with our father, and one is no longer living." Then Joseph said to them, "I have spoken. You are spies. This is how you will be tested. As surely as Pharaoh lives, you will not leave this place unless your youngest brother comes here. Send one from among you to go get your brother. The rest of you will be in prison so that your words can be tested to see if they are true. If they are not, then as surely as Pharaoh lives, you are spies." So Joseph imprisoned them together for 3 days. On the third day, Joseph said to them, "I fear God. Do this and you will live. If you are honest, let one of you be confined to the guardhouse while the rest of you go and take grain to relieve the hunger of your households. Bring your youngest brother to me so that your words can be confirmed. Then you won't die." And they consented to this. Then they said to each other, "Obviously, we are being punished for what we did to our brother. We saw his deep distress when he pleaded with us, but we would not listen. That is why this trouble has come to us." But Reuben replied, "Didn't I tell you not to harm the boy? But you wouldn't listen. Now we must account for his blood." They did not realize that Joseph understood them, since he was an interpreter between them. He used an interpreter between them. He turned away from them and wept. Then he turned back and spoke to them. He took Simeon from them and had him bound before their eyes. Joseph gave them then orders to fill their containers with grain, return each man's money to his sack, and give them provisions for their journey. This order was carried out. They loaded the grain on their donkeys and left there. At the place where they lodged for the night, one of them opened his sack to get feed for his donkey, and he saw his money there at the top of the bag. He said to his brothers, "My money has been returned. It's here in my bag." Their hearts sank, trembling. They turned to one another and said, "What is this that God has done to us?" When they reached their father Jacob in the land of Canaan, they told him all that had happened to them. "The man who is the lord of the country spoke harshly to us and accused us of spying on the country. But we told him, 'We're honest and not spies. We were 12 brothers, sons of the same father. One is no longer living, and the youngest is now with our father in the land of Canaan.' The man who is the lord of the country said to us, 'This is how I will know if you are honest. Leave one brother with me, take food to relieve the hunger of your households, and go. Bring back your youngest brother to me, and I will know that you are not spies, but honest men. I will then give your brother back to you, and you can trade in this country.'" As they began emptying their sacks, there in each man's sack was his bag of money. When they and their father saw their bags of money, they were afraid. Their father Jacob said to them, "You have deprived me of my sons. Joseph is gone and Simeon is gone. Now you want to take Benjamin? Everything happens to me." Then Reuben said to his father, "You can kill my two sons if I don't bring him back to you. Put him in my care, and I will return him to you." But Jacob answered, "My son will not go down with you, for his brother is dead, and he alone is left. If anything happens to him on your journey, you will bring my gray hairs down to Sheol in sorrow." Mind if I pray for you? Lord Jesus, thank you for this, the scene that we see here between Joseph and his brothers, and just all of the myriad of emotions that must have happened inside of Joseph's heart in seeing them for the first time. And the reuniting was not so straightforward. And Lord, I understand his heart was to see his younger brother. And so Lord, as I think about all this and all of these family relationships, I just thank you for giving us the families that you gave us. And Lord, that's sometimes not an easy thing to thank you for. But I pray for my listeners today that you would bring some reconciliation in 2020. for one of those maybe estranged relationships in their family. Lord, I honestly have felt that that is impossible in some of my circumstances, but you have done some miraculous things because of prayer, but because you're so good, really. And so I pray this for my friend listening, that you would bring reconciliation in those family members, and those dynamics can be so hard, Lord. I also pray that you would heal the hearts of those who have had to walk away from family because of the destructive nature of their household. And Lord, that's its own grief, having to walk away from difficult, narcissistic, predatory places and to be on one's own. And so, Lord, I just thank you right now that you are father, mother, sister, brother, aunt, uncle to those who are broken without a family. And Lord, I thank you for the body of Christ that has become the family, but I also lift up those who have been hurt by the body of Christ, because that is such a great injury. It's so painful to know that the ones who should love you, the ones who should welcome you, the ones who should embrace you, are the ones that shun or malign or say bad things about. Your body is imperfect. And when we are hurt by particularly leaders in that body, the wound is deep and it's hard to get over. And so, Lord, I just lift up all my friends today who have that tender wound of being harmed by someone else, whether it be in their family or the family of God. And I pray that you would treat them tenderly and you would begin to walk them down that road of healing, that road of forgiveness, that road that leads away from bitterness and toward wholeness. And Lord, I truly believe that you are the God of reconciliation and you have reconciled us to you, and nothing is impossible to you. So help us to have the kind of faith that we need to believe that you are capable of such crazy things like that. And so we trust you, we love you, we need you, and we thank you that even if everyone else forsakes us, you will hold us close. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks so much for listening to the podcast. Hey, if you're listening from another part of the world, I would love to hear from you. You can email me at mary@marydemuth.com. If you want to support the podcast, you can go to patreon.com/prayeveryday. And in the meantime, between now and tomorrow, I pray that you would understand just how beloved you are of the God who created you, the God who loves you.